Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Wednesday to you. Well, I believe it is good Wednesday because I believe that's the day that Christ died on the cross. I won't go into all of that. We do have a broadcast that I could find for you if you want it on the hoax of Good Friday, and we could send that to you if you'd like a CD of that, or we could send it to you to just to listen to by way of the computer. But listen, whether you think I got information this past week, somebody who didn't give his name, and you know, it's awful tough to read something when people won't sign their name to it, thinking that Jesus died on a Thursday. And you know what? You can believe that. That's okay. I know some will celebrate it on Friday. They call it Good Friday. I just don't think that's biblical. The important thing is, though, I'm not going to argue about it, not going to get into a fight about it. What I'm going to press upon the fact is, he died. He died on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again the third day for our sins and for our justification. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justifies freely forever. And one day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. That's the important thing. But I believe it was Wednesday, a good Wednesday. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about the sufferings of Jesus Christ, the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And for that, I'd like you to go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, beginning in verse number 27. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head this his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And then as I look down to verse number 45, the Bible says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. It's nighttime, and Jesus and his disciples are in Gethsemane. It is there that his suffering begins. He tells his disciples to pray, and then he takes Peter, James, and John and goes a bit further with them and asks them to watch and pray. He then goes even further by himself and begins to pray to the Father. He agonizes in prayer, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. It's interesting to note that only Luke, the physician, would mention this. Under great emotional distress, Tiny capillaries in the sweat glands break, mixing sweat with blood. This process alone could have produced weakness and possible shock. It was here in the garden at night that Judas Iscariot led the Roman soldiers to Jesus. They arrest him, and he's brought before the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas, the high priest. When Jesus remains silent before Caiaphas, a Roman soldier strikes him in the face. Later, palace guards will blindfold him and taunt him to identify them as they pass by and either punched him in the face or spat upon him. In the wee hours of the morning, Jesus, battered, bruised, dehydrated, and exhausted, is taken across the city to the praetorium to face Pilate. There, in response to the people, Pilate releases Barabbas and condemns Jesus to scourging and crucifixion. Preparations for the scourging are carried out. The prisoner is stripped of his clothing, and his hands are tied to a post above his head. A Roman soldier steps forward with the cat of nine tails in his hand. That cat of nine tails is a whip, which has several heavy leather thongs, pieces of metal, and sometimes glass and lead near the end of each thong. The whip is brought down in full force. Again and again and again. Across the back of Jesus, his shoulders, his legs. At first, the thongs cut through the skin only. But as the blows continue, they cut deeper into the sub-tissues, producing oozing blood from the capillaries and veins and eventually spurting blood from the vessels in the underlying muscle. The small balls of lead at first produce large, deep bruises, which are broken open by the repeated blows. Finally, the skin of the back is hanging in long ribbons, and the entire area is an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissues. When it's determined the prisoner is near death, the beating stops. The half-fainting Jesus is then untied. He slumps to the stone pavement, now wet with his own blood. Roman soldiers then begin to mock him. They take a purple robe and lay it on his back. They place a stick in his hand as a scepter, and a crown of thorns is pressed upon his head. After mocking him and striking him in the face, the soldiers take the stick and hit him over the head with it, pushing the thorns from the crown deeper into his scalp. They then tear the robe from off his back. The removal causes excruciating pain. He's led outside, where a rough-hewn beam shaped like a cross is tied across his shoulders. With two other condemned men, they begin their slow journey. The weight of the heavy beam, the loss of blood, and the lack of sleep are too much. Jesus stumbles and falls. The rough wood gouges into his lacerated skin. He tries to rise, but the muscles have been pushed beyond their limit. One in the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, is compelled to carry the cross for him. Finally, they come to a hill called Golgotha. The beam is laid on the ground, and Jesus is thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wooden beam. The Roman soldier feels for the depression at the base of the wrist, drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and repeats the action, not pulling the arms too tight, allowing for some flexibility. The cross is lifted into place, and the top post can be clearly seen, which says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, both feet extended down, and a nail is driven through the arch of each. As he pushes himself upward to avoid the stretching torment, he'll place his full weight upon the nails through his feet. As his arms fatigue, waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With the cramps comes the inability to pull himself up where air can be drawn in. He cannot exhale, and Jesus fights to raise himself up for one short breath. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, partial asphyxiation. Pain as the tissues torn on his lacerated back go up and down on the rough wood of the cross. Another agony begins as a pain deep in his chest. It's the pericardium slowly filling with serum, and it begins to compress the heart. The heart struggles to pump. The lungs are gasping for air. And Jesus cries out, "I thirst." He gathers all he can to push up one last time, tissues tearing and pain searing. He says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The soldiers come to make sure, double sure of death. They drive a spear up under his ribs, into his heart, and out came water and blood. Conclusive evidence that Jesus Christ died not of the usual death of crucifixion by suffocation, but by heart failure due to shock and constriction of the heart. No one who is serious about being a Christian can remain unmoved as they think of Jesus suffering on the cross. You can't help but ask yourself, why did he drink the bitter cup? And the answer comes back, simply because he loved us so. You see, it was our sin. Indeed, it was my sin that took him there. Oh, let's think deeply of his distress, his grief, his sorrow, and let's live our lives accordingly. When you know the love that it took for him to die in our place, to suffer and be in agony and torment for you and me, why wouldn't everyone want to trust him as their Savior? Why wouldn't everyone love him enough to be faithful to his church? Why wouldn't I want to at least tithe of my income? Why wouldn't I want to read the book he has given? Why wouldn't I want to talk to him often in prayer? Why wouldn't I surrender everything to him? The songwriter wrote to him, "I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?" The suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God today for the death of Jesus Christ. We'll have our service tonight at 6:30. Hope you can join us for our good Wednesday night service. We'll celebrate. We'll go over and think again and meditate upon the death of Christ on the cross for us and for our salvation. Hope you can join us. Until tomorrow, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.